Gemara teaches Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in Raisa Yadcha. Torah says, Vayala os al yadcha. It should be a sign on your hand. Your hand, it doesn't say on your right, it says your hand. So Zusmol, that's a reference to the left arm. Atomer smol in el yamin. Maybe your hand means the right arm. Tamalomar, that's why we have three verses, where in each of these verses, the verse distinguishes between yad and yamin. So one verse. Af yadiyaz ta'aretz. Even my hand has founded the earth. But v'yamini, but my right, tifcha shamayim, that developed the heavens. So you see that yad is not the same thing as yamin. V'omer, second verse. Yada la yasei tishlachna. Her hand will be sent to the peg. V'yamina lahalmos aleimim. And her right for those who are toiling. V'omer, and a third verse. Lama sashiv yadcha. Why should you pull your hand back? V'yamincha, and your right, mikarev chekcha chalei, from your bosom, should you you should take it out. So again, in these three verses, yad is contrasted with yamin. So that's when the Torah says vayala os al yadcha. It doesn't say al yamincha. It says al yadcha. It means on your hand, which is not yamin, which means that the tefillin have to be on the left. That's the source, that the tefillin have to be on the left. That's according to the first view. Rabbi Yossi hachoreim omer. Rabbi Yossi the Choreim. Who's Rabbi Yossi HaChoreim? Rabbi Yossi HaChoreim is, Rashi says, Choreim is about a physical feature. He says, Rabbi Yossi HaChoreim, he had a sunken nostrils. That's why he was called Rabbi Yossi HaChoreim. So Rabbi Yossi HaChoreim Omer, Rabbi Yossi HaChoreim has a different verse. He says, it's not true. You can't say that the word yad always means left, because matzinu yamin shenikra yad, we find that the right is also called yad. Shenemar, as the verse says, vayar Yosef, and Yosef saw, ki yashis aviv yad yamino, that his father put his right hand on Ephraim, and Yosef was upset, he wanted the right hand to be on Menashe. So the Yidach, the Tanakam, who didn't agree with that, he'll tell you, Yad Yamin Ikri. There was called Yad Yamino. He saw that his father had put Yad Yamino. Yad Yamin means right. But Yad Stama, but just the word Yad, that doesn't mean right. That means left. Okay, so that's the first view, the view of the Tanakhama. Since it says Vayala Os Al Yadcha, Yadcha, not Yamincha. Since it says Yadcha, Yadcha means the left. Because had it meant the right, it would have said Yamincha. Because the word yad by itself doesn't mean the right, and therefore it must mean the left. That's how we know that the tefillin have to be on the left. Rabbi Nassan Omer. Rabbi Nassan says a different source. Eino tzarech, I don't need this whole analysis of yad versus yamin. The source for tefillin, the hand tefillin being on the left, is from the following. Harei Omer, the verse says, Ukshartam, you should tie the tefillin. And it says about the mezuzah, Ukhsavtam. The next verse, and you should write the parshos of the mezuzah. So maksiva b'yamin, just like writing is done with the right hand. Normally when you write, most people are righty, so they write with their right hand. So too, afkshira b'yamin. So too, when the Torah talks about tying, it means a tying like writing. It means a tying with the right hand. If you have to tie with the right hand, then anacha b'smoli, you're obviously tying it onto the left hand. You can't tie with your right hand on your right hand. So it must be you're putting the tefillin on the left hand. So we have two sources for how we know that the tefillin are on the left hand. According to the Tanakhama, the fact that the Torah says it should be a sign on your hand means the left. And according to Rabbi Yossi, the reason how we know that the tefillin has to, I'm sorry, the Rabbi Nassan, according to Rabbi Nassan, the reason that we know that the tefillin has to be on the left hand is since the Torah links and compares writing to tying, uchsavtem to ukshartem, so just like you write with the right, so to the tying is with the right. Yeah, question.
Yeah, why don't they make the different derivative? Why don't they say since you put the mezuzah on the right doorpost, you should also put your if you're going to make that comparison, say the mezuzah is on the right, tefillin on the right.
Yeah, it's a good question. Because we said that mezuzah is on the right because it says when you go in and when you go out. When you go in through the right.
And it's action, writing, and
writing is always with the right hand because it's an action. And tying also is an action.
Could have been another source.
Okay. Rabbi Yossi Achorim. Now, Rabbi Yossi Achorim didn't like the idea that the word Yad means the left, because he said we find with Yosef that Yad Yamin refers to the right. So, Anachadu Smolin Nali. So, how does he know that you put the tefillin on the left arm? So, the Gemara says now he learns it Nafkalei Meichel Nafkalei the Rabbi Nassim. He learns it from where Rabbi Nassim learned it, from the fact that there's a linkage between Ukshartem and Uksavtem. So, just like Ksivas with the right, Kshira's with the right. If Kshira's with the right, you can't be tying it onto your right. You have to be tying it onto your left.
Rabbi, you know, I always thought that the one of the explanation in Kabbalah for the tefillin is like you want to use the arm, the right arm, which is has another koach.
Good.
Okay. Connect them to your heart and brain. They're all good. Become like one unit situation. But the left arm, it doesn't have the koach that the right arm.
That would be a Kabbalistic reason. This is the text.
But the left hand
Kabbalah gives the reasons behind the text. That would be right. Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Ashi gave a third source. How do we know that the tefillin have to be tied into the left? It says miyadcha. The Torah actually, when it writes the word vayula os al yadcha, it'll be a sign on your hand. The word yadcha is written with an extra hey, ksiv behei, and that's to teach you yad keha, a hand that's weak. Amar le Reb Abba le Reb Ashi, Reb Abba said to Reb Ashi, ve'ema yadcha shebakoach. Maybe it means yadcha, to emphasize yadcha, your hand which is strong. I'm only says, doesn't say that. It doesn't say miksiv b'ches. It doesn't say yadcha yud dalid chaf ches, the hand of koach. It says yadcha, with a hey, yad keha, the hand of weakness. The truth is, this discussion is kitanoi, is actually a machlokas tanoim. According to the Brisa says, yadcha, the Torah says, put it on your hand with an extra hey on the word yadcha. The hey is so small, that means it goes on the left. And acher momrim, and others say, the Rabbi Meir, yadcha, no, yadcha doesn't mean it has to go on the left. The word yadcha is to teach the rabos es hagidim, to include someone who has an arm that was amputated. So even though he has an arm that was amputated, he has a weak hand, a shaky hand, he also should be putting tefillin on. An amputee also should be putting tefillin on the left stump. Tana rabbanim we learned in a braisa. Iter, a lefty, meniach tefillin b'yamino, he puts the tefillin on his right. Shehu smolo, because for him, that is the left. Aiva nia v'atan b'lid in a braisa. Maniach b'smolo. He puts it on his left. Shu smolo shel kol adam, which is the left, the same left of every other person. Amar Abaye, so that's not talking about someone who's a lefty. Kitanya hi b'sholit b'shtei yadav. That's talking about someone who's ambidextrous, someone who can use both hands equally. He can write with his right, and he writes with his left. His tefillin goes on his left. Tanan Devei Menashe was taught in the yeshiva of Menashe. The verse says, Vayala os al yadcha, on your hand. What is yadcha? Zuki bores. That's a reference to the muscle. You have to make the muscle where the muscle goes up, and that's where the tefillin goes. Veineinecha, between your eyes. Vayula tatafos veineinecha, zukatko. That's a reference to the skull, to the head. Heicha, now where in the skull? Ami de Be'er Biyanai, they answered in the Yeshiva Biyanai. Makom shem molcho shel tinok rofes, the place where the brain of a baby till the age of one is soft, the spot there between the plates where the baby's skull is very soft till the age of one, that's where the tefillin goes. Ba'imine plimo me rabbi. Plimo asked the question of rabbi. Mishi yesh lo shnei rashim. What would be the law if somebody had two heads? Beizeh mehen maniach tefillin. What head should get the tefillin? So, what's that? Right, that's right. Who would get the, which head gets the tefillin? Amar lei. So he was upset. You know, he thought, you know, you're making fun of me. You're asking me these questions that don't it can't be, these impossible what ifs. You know, he said to him, listen, O kum gli, O go, either go out and go into exile, leave the country, O kabbal alach shamta, or you deserve to be put into excommunication. No one should sit near you, no one should talk to you because you made fun of a Torah scholar. So Adahachi says, as they were talking, Asa Ugavra, a man showed up. Amarle, and he said, Isyal Binuka, I just had a baby born, this Litre Rashi, who has two heads. Kama Bina Lemesav Lakoin. So do I have to give 10 shekel as Pidyon HaBen for him? Or do I give 5 shekel? How much shekel do I have to give for Pidyon HaBen? He has two heads. Asa Usava, so an old man showed up, Tanale, and he taught him. Chayev Litin Lo Asara Slayim. We don't know which one is the first. Maybe they're both together. So you have to give 10 shekel. Ask Zamar Aini, is that so? But Tani, but we learned. Tani Rami Barham, Rami Barham taught in a brisa. Mitoch Shenem, since the verse says, Padotif Des Bechara Adam, you shall surely redeem the firstborn of a man. Shomei Ani Afilu Nitraf. Even if he were to die within 30 days of his birth, the father would have to redeem him. So Talmud, that's what it says. Ach, only. Pato tiftas b'char adam. The word ach, halak, that's to exclude. That's to say that a boy who's born and gets killed within 30 days of his birth, there is no obligation of pidyon haben. So if that's the case, this child who's got two heads, he's not going to live for 30 days. Why would there be an obligation of pidyon haben? So Gemara says, no. Shani Yacha, a child who's going to live for 30, a child with two heads, does need two pidyon habens. Dibegulgalta talarachmana. Hashem says, v'lakachta chameshes chameshes shkalam lagulgoles. You should take 5 shekel per head. So since the Torah specifies skulls and heads in pidyon haben, if a person has two heads, he has two skulls, he would have to give, on his behalf, they'd have to give 10 shekel. Probably, that's true.
Well, there is no pidyon haben, then if it's a C-section.
Exactly, that's Jason's point. That's right.
Well, they say brera, meaning that give 5 shekel and say whichever one of the two children survive who are connected, that's the one who is the bechor, and they should.
Interesting. Just the thing that we don't do that. Yeah.
So, Rabbi, if the baby survives with two heads. Okay, so what, he has to put two headsets on his head when he grows?
Oh, what's the halach? I didn't check it up. I don't know. What do they say in the Koran? What do they say the halach is?
They say with regard to the halacha, with regard to pidyon, is that according to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, you don't, the kid is considered to have a mum, and you don't give a
pidyon. And about two heads for tefillin, they don't say. No. I don't know. Listen, with the advances of medicine, all of these questions are becoming very relevant. Certainly possibilities nowadays. Okay, so then Amar, we learned in the Braisa before, Yadcha on your hand, Zuki Boris. It's a trefa. Yeah, that was the Kumar's question. Kumar said he's not going to live. We learned Yadcha in the Braisa, you have to put the tefillin on your arm. Zuki Boris, it's on the muscle. Minal, and how do we know that it's the muscle, the Tanur Rabbanan? Because we learned in a Braisa. The verse says, Al Yadcha, on your hand, Zugova Shabiyad. That's the highest place of the hand, namely a clenched muscle, a flexed muscle. Oh, Eino El Al Yadcha Mamish. Maybe it's literally on the hand, you know, maybe it's to be put on the hand. Amra Torah, the Torah says, Hanach tefillin biyad, put the tefillin on the hand. Hanach tefillin barosh, and it says, put tefillin on the head. So, ma'alahalam begova shabarosh, just like on the head, it means the top of the head, b'nei necha. Afkan begova shabarosh, so begova shabiyad here must mean the top of the hand. So the top of the hand is the muscle all the way on top that controls the arm. Rebbe Yezer Omer Lezer says, Eino tzarech, I don't need that source. Hareyu Omer, since the verse says, Vayalach halaos. It says it shall be for you a sign. L'chala'os, it's saying for you a sign. V'lo l'acherim la'os, not a sign for others. So a sign only for you, meaning it's on your hand, at the top of the hand. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Rabbi Yitzchak says, we don't need that source. Rabbi Omer, since the verse says, V'samtem es dvar ha'ela Alev Avchem, and you should place these words of mine on your heart. Ukshartem, and you should tie them. This is the point that Yosef brought up before. Shatehesima keneged alev. That means that the placement has to be near the heart. That means that it has to be on the arm with the flexed muscle. Rabbi Chia, breder of Avaya, the son of Rabbi Avaya, Mechavein, would be very precise. Umanachle lahade libe, and he would put it next to his heart. He would turn it a little bit towards the heart to fulfill this mitzvah of Alev Avchem, on your heart. A story. Rav Ashi, Hava Yosef, Kameda Amemar. Rav Ashi was sitting in front of Amemar. Hava Tziria biyadei v'kamet chazion tefillin. So apparently Amemar had a wound near the muscle, and he tore his robe in order that the robe not scratch against the wound, and as a result, everyone could see the tefillin. So Rav Ashi was sitting in front of a Meimar, Havitziria Biyade, there was this wound in his hand, and as a result, Kamet Chazion tefillin, the tefillin was now visible. Amar Leh, so Rav Ashi said to a Meimar, Lo Saval Amar, but don't you also believe that the verse says, V'haya l'chal'os, v'ayu l'chal'os, v'lo l'achem l'os, it should be a sign for you and not a sign for others. That means that the hand tefillin is supposed to be covered. No other people should be seeing it. Amar Leh, Amemar answered, B'makom l'chal'os itmar. That verse of l'chal'os, not to tell you that literally the tefillin have to be hidden and only you see it and other people don't see it. It's just saying it should be in the place which is for you a sign and not for others a sign. It's just about the placement of where the tefillin should be placed, but not in regards that the tefillin of the hand always have to be literally covered.
Talking about the other hand being covered, or the tefillin.
How could
the
box?
Oh, you mean
you
after you put?
Oh, I see. Then you cover it. Now, we said before that one of the possible sources that the tefillin have to be put on the muscle is on the fact that the hand tefillin are compared to the head tefillin, and the head tefillin are on the top of the head, so the hand tefillin should be at the top of the arm. Kova shebarosh minon. How do we know that the head tefillin are on the top of the head? Maybe the head tefillin is on the forehead. How do we know you're supposed to put it all the way up? The Tana Rabbana, because we learned in a braisa, when it says b'nei necha, between your eyes, it means kova shebarosh, the top of the head. Atum azergovish abarosh, you're saying it's the top of the head. O eina ela beinei necha mamish, maybe it's literally between your eyes. The answer is namar kan beinei necha. It says here between your eyes, v'namar halon, and it says later, lo sasimu karcha beinei necha lemeis. Don't create a bald spot between your eyes when you're super sad about a death. So where's the bald spot there? Malahalim begova shabarosh. It's not over here. It's not literally between the eyes. It's up here. It's the widow's peak. It's the top of the head, because that's where you have hair. Makom shosa karacha. That's where you can make a bald spot. So afkan. So it's over here when the tefillin are between your eyes. It's the same like it's between your eyes there. And therefore, it's begova shabarosh. It's gova shalrosh. It's the top of the head. Welcome, Shosa Karcha, a place where you could create a bold spot. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ain't no tzarich. I don't need that source. I have another source." Amr Torah. The Torah says, "Hanach tefillin biyad, hanach tefillin b'rosh." The Torah says, "Put tefillin on the arm," and it says, "Put tefillin on the head." So mal alam b'rakom li tamei b'nega echad. Just like over there with the hand tefillin, it's a place that could only get tumah through tumas negayim, through the tumah of tzaras, through the impurity of a skin ailment. Afkan, so to the tefillin on the head is b'makom haritamei haroi litamei b'nega echad, a place where it could become tamei only based on negayim, and that is the hair, because if the hair has a nega, then the whole person becomes tamei. Lafuke b'nei necha, to exclude the spot literally between the eyes. Because in regards to that spot, it's really two spots. That's the ikabasar viser, because that's flesh and hair. And the ikas over there, you have the tuma of seir lavan. You could have the tuma of the tzaras of hair with white hairs, Or another tuma, ikanami seartsov. Or you could have the tuma, I mean, seyar lavan is the tsaras of skin. Or you could have seartsov, you could have yellow hairs, which is the tsaras of hair, the hair of the head and the hair of the beard. So just like the arm is a place where there's only one type of tsaras, the tsaras of white hair, so too the bene necha has to be a spot where there's only one type of tsaras possible. So that's the top of the head, where you only have the tsaras of yellow hairs, the tsaras of hair. But between the eyes, literally, you have the options of two tsaras. You could have either had the tsaras of white hair for the skin part of between the eyes, or the tsaras of yellow hair for the hair's part between the eyes. That's not included. That's how we know it has to be the top of the hair.
It makes the tefillin tame, no, Rabbi?
Yeah, we're not saying that you have tzaras when you have tefillin. This is just how to determine where the tefillin should go. Uh-huh. Okay, now we go back to the Mishnah.
Sorry, Rabbi, I
just
tomorrow, later discuss the wrappings at the seven.
I don't think so.
No.
I think that's only a custom. I don't think that that's in the Gemara. I don't think it's such a requirement, the seven. I think the requirement is just to put on. Makes it more beautiful, but I don't think that that's in the Gemara. All right, now tzitzis. We learned in the Mishnah. Arba tzitzios ma'akvot zoetzo. The four tzitzios are requirements for each other. Shar basa and mitzvah achas, because all four are one mitzvah. And then Rabbi Shmuel said, all four are four separate mitzvahs. Asks the Gemara, Ma'abi Na'ai, what's the difference between these two ideas? Answers the Gemara, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef answered, Sadin b'tzitzis, Ika b'Na'ai. The difference between them is a garment of linen. In terms of the issue of putting on tzitzis, putting on tcheles. Putting on tcheles. Now tcheles is wool. So by definition, it's going to be a problem of shatnez. So here would be the situation. Let's say you put on to the garment tzitzis of wool on three corners, because you have tcheles with the wool. Tcheles can only be on wool. So if you put tzitzis with wool on three corners of a linen garment, and one corner doesn't have any tzitzis. So if you say that the four sets of tassels are a single mitzvah, so the mitzvah hasn't been fulfilled yet. So now it's just shatnez, a person can't wear it. But if you say that each set of strings is a separate mitzvah, so having three sets of strings out of the four is already somewhat of a mitzvah. And since it's somewhat of a mitzvah, you would be able to wear it even though it's kilayim, because asei do chalos asei, the positive mitzvah of tzitzis, would overrule the prohibition of shatnez.
But that's not the 613, knots and mitzvahs in there, so it's incomplete.
Okay, that's so you like the chachamim. You don't like the view of Rabbi Yishma. Okay. All right, that would be one difference. Rava barahina amar, Rava said another difference would be talis balas chamish. Let's say you have a talis with five corners, ika beinahu. That would also be a difference. Now, according to the Chachamim, the four corners are one mitzvah, four sets of strings. So you'd only put on four sets of strings on a talis with five corners to it. Whereas according to Rabbi Yishmael, each corner is its own mitzvah. So if you'd have five corners, you'd have to put on five sets of strings. A third difference, Ravina Amar, Ravina said, to Rav Huna Ika Beinayu, the law of Rav Huna would be a difference between the Chachamim, who hold that it's one mitzvah, and Rabbi Shmuel holds that it's four mitzvahs. So Rav Huna used to say, Hayotze, if a person's walking out from a private domain to a public domain on Shabbos, in a place with no Eruv, Bitalis, She'ena Mitzuyetzes Ka'alacha, in a talis that doesn't have tzitzis the right way, if he does it on Shabbos, chayav chatas, he's chayav a karbon, because since the talis doesn't have tzitzis the right way, so then there's no mitzvah of tzitzis.
It couldn't be considered like a decoration to the talit or something.
Okay, good, very good. But since these are very expensive, the talis was always very expensive, so therefore they're not considered part of the garment and just considered carrying a burden. He's carrying some type of a package. So here we have a difference. According to the Chachamim, that you need four tzitzios for it to be a mitzvah. So if you have a garment with only three sets of strings, and he walks out into the public domain, so he's carrying, and he'd be chayav a karban chatas. Whereas according to Rabbi Yishmael, since each set of strings is its own mitzvah, so even if the garment only has three sets of strings, he's doing a mitzvah. Once he's doing a mitzvah, even though it's expensive strings, the expensive strings are considered part of the garment. If they're part of the garment, they're just a decoration. As Gabriel pointed out, they wouldn't be considered carrying to walk out with them.
Rabbi, what are you talking about carrying it? I mean, carrying in a bag or wearing it?
Wearing it.
Wearing it would be considered carrying?
Right, because the tzitzis themselves are not fulfilling the mitzvah.
So why the people who don't hold by the Arab, they put on the talit and they walk?
But right?
They do that here because it's kosher tzitzis. Kosher. Therefore, it's a kosher garment. It's a kosher garment. The Briskers, you know, Rabbi Soloveitchik's family, they were part of their unique way of serving Hashem was to look for all the possible opinions, to try to fulfill as many opinions as possible. So to be careful for all sorts of opinions that are not in the Shulchan Aruch, but to be careful for them too. So the Briskers don't wear tzitzis on Shabbos. First of all, the Briskers don't rely on any Eruv, because the Rambam feels you can't have an Eruv. The Rambam says that if you have a street that's 16 amos wide, that's 24 feet wide, it's a biblically public domain and you can't have an Eruv. So according to the Rambam, you can never have an Eruv in any modern city because the streets are more than 24 feet.
Zigzag or something like
right.
That.
According to the Rambam, any street that's wide enough to be 24 feet wide, I'm sorry, 16
yeah.
Amos.
Yeah, 8 meters.
Yeah, so you can't have an Eruv according to the Rambam. So according to the Rambam, they don't have any Eruvin. Then once they don't have any Eruvin, they say, maybe we need Tcheles. Since we don't have Tcheles, so maybe we're not fulfilling the mitzvah by wearing tzitzis. If we're not fulfilling the mitzvah with the tzitzis, then this Gemara says that the tzitzis are just a burden if you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. The Gemara's example is not Tcheles. The Gemara's example is only three, but not four. But they say the fact that we don't have Tcheles maybe means that we're not fulfilling. So even though that's not the normal approach, but on Shabbos, they do not wear tzitzis.
If you've tied the tzitzis with a double knot that you have on the bottom, yeah, that's a permanent addition to the garment. So how could one say it's decorative as opposed to, I mean, it's not a temporary attachment.
It's still considered a burden. It's not considered because the core is the mitzvah.
They put the key into the belt.
Oh, so that's really a little bit complicated. It has to be that the key itself is the belt.
Yeah, so if the key makes the belt, then it's okay.
Correct.
But
if the key
is just hanging from the belt,
that's
that,
wrong.
That work.
That's carrying, right.
It has to be like in between the...
if the key is the button, right? If the key is the buckle, that would be okay. But if the key is not the buckle, that's not okay.
Rabbi, a guy who wears a linen suit and he's... His sissit is wool.
Mm.
What is the story with that? Can he wear it?
Well, if the strings mixed, it would be a problem.
No, the string, forget it. I mean, the actual,
no, I'm saying if strings of wool mix with strands of linen, then you have a problem.
Then it's a problem, then,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh. Okay, so the Gemara now says three more lessons about tzitzis and talis. I'm Rav Sheisha Bered, Rav Idi. Rav Sheisha, say the name of Rav Idi. I'm on the Batsu Leglime. A person who cuts off the talis. And so he makes a cut at the corner to turn the corner into two corners. That hasn't changed anything. Shavye talis balas chamesh. So now it's a talis with five corners, and a talis with five corners also supposed to have tzitzis. Another law, Amar of Misharsha. Misharsha said, "Hai man, the tzayir leglime, a person who folds the corners of the garment and he rounds it. So now it's not a corner. Also, lo aviv lo klum, he hasn't done anything. My time, what's the reason? Kiman de shariy dami, because we imagine that it's not tied up. Because ultimately, even though he tied it up and he made it into like a little bit of a rounded thing, we don't think that it's a rounded thing. We consider it not tied. And we know that ultimately he's going to untie it.
So how could a sisit have five corners? I don't understand that.
Why? If you cut this, so now you'll have a corner and another corner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what it is.
And a proof to this. Utnanam Yos Lintana Mishnah Kal Hachamasos Hatsuros, all the leather flasks that are tied. In other words, they're not sewed together on the bottom. They're just tied on the bottom, tahoros. They're not considered to be a flask with a receptacle. Because since it's only tied, we assume it's going to be untied. Chutz Mishel Arvayim. The only exception is the flasks of the Arabs. The flasks of the Arabs, they tie, they don't sew, and even once it's tied, it's going to be left in that way. So what do you see? That whenever you have a knot, it ultimately is going to be untied, it's not considered knotted. So if that's true about a flask, the same would be true in regards to tzitzis. And now a third law. Amar Rav Dimi min Harda, Rav Dimi said from Harda said, Hai man dechayite leglime. A person who actually sews up the edges of the talus, that it should be rounded. Also, lo avid velo klum, it's still considered a garment with four corners. And the reason is like this, im isad lo mi boile, because if really he wouldn't want these folds, lifsok velishdaye. He should have cut off the corners and thrown it away. The fact that he's going through the hassle of sewing it up with string, that's a proof that, in fact, he does intend to undo the stitches, and therefore it's still considered a four-cornered garment. The Mishnah then said, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel says, Arba Tan, the four sets of strings, Arba Mitzvos, are four different mitzvos. I'm Rabbi Yudah Mishmuel, Rabbi Yudah Mishmuel, Allah Chak Rabbi Shmuel. Allah is like Rabbi Shmuel. Each one of the four sets of strings is its own mitzvah. But the Gemara says, even though that's what Rabbi Yudah said in the name of Shmuel, we don't agree. Unless Hilchos Sakkah will say, Allah is not like Rabbi Shmuel. Ravina, have a ka'azil abasri demar. Baravashi. Ravina was walking after Mar, the son of Ravashi. Bishabs of the Rikla. On the Shabbos before Yom Tov, when it's very important for the rabbi to teach all the laws of Yom Tov. Ifsak karna dechute, the corner of the talus of Mar Bar Avashi got cut together with the tzitzis that were on it. So lo amar lev lo midi, Ravina didn't tell anything to Mar Bar Avashi. Hadmat lebeisi, when Mar Bar Avashi got home, Amar le, Ravina said to him, Mehasam ifsuk. In other words, you know, that spot in the street, that's where your talus got cut. Amar le, so Mar Bar Avashi said like this, Amar le, Mehasam, if you would have told me then, Shtite would have taken off the talus. Because once it's missing one of the sets of tzitzis, it's no longer a mitzvah. And once it's no longer a mitzvah, it would be carrying to wear it in the street. So I would have taken it off. So ask the Gemara, Aiva Amar Mar, why would he have taken it off? Don't we know from Masech the Brachos, Gadol Kavod Abriyo Shadochas Los Hashei Shabbat Torah, Hashem has made the honor of people so important, it's even overrules a prohibition of the Torah that you don't take off a garment that you turn out you shouldn't be wearing when you're in the street. So the Gemara answers, Tir Gemara Rav Bar Shva, Kamed Rav Kahana. So Mar Bar Shma said that that's only Belav de lo Sasur. That's only when it's only a rabbinic prohibition. So the rabbinic prohibitions can be pushed aside for the honor of people, but not for a biblical prohibition of violating Shabbos. V'yikudamri, others say, Mehasam Amri Leit. Others say that he did tell him right away in that spot that your talus just tore. For Amar Leh, Mar Bar Avashi said to him, "My daitach, what are you telling me to do? The mishdaye, to throw it off, to take it off? I've Amar Mar, but we know in Masechta Brachos, Gadol Kavod Abriyos, Shadochas Lo Sashesh Betorah. So the Gemara says, but we know that great is the honor of creatures, that it overrules prohibitions of the Torah. So I shouldn't be taking off a garment in the street and look like a mess. So the Gemara says, how could you say that? But we know the Gemara in Brachos says that Rav Bar Shva taught it in front of Rav Kahana. Belabdelo sasur, that it's only referring to the prohibition of the rabbinic prohibitions of lo tasur. In other words, the rabbinic law, which is included in the rabbinic law in the prohibition, don't deviate from what the rabbis tell you. That gets pushed aside in the face of honor to people, but not the law of violating Shabbos. The Gemara says no, but here it wasn't really a public domain. Achanam, a Carmelis, here was a Carmelis. A Carmelis is biblically a private domain where it's only a rabbinic prohibition to be wearing it, and that's why he didn't take it off to Rabbanan. He, Hajan Allah Hakometz Rabba Bezos Hashem Yisbarach, Vahajan Chalon Hakometz Rabba.